Hey, welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzey. My guest today is Karen Kozlowski. She is a hit songwriter and producer. Man, I can't wait for y'all to get to know her better, but wow, she dropped some really great knowledge on what the role of a producer is, how to be a better producer, how to work with artists. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode today, so let's get right into it. Said that you started, you know, playing your own music, didn't know what. I'm curious, is you start off as a songwriter first and an artist, or did you start off producing, or did you start producing because you didn't know anybody else could do that for you? I'm kind of curious what led you to the production side as well.
When I was a teenager, I was starting to write my own little songs and compositions and stuff, and it was just totally, you know, based off of whatever I was either learning on the piano or listening to. I didn't really know anything about the music industry. I didn't know all the different roles that exist behind the scenes. At that time, you know, a lot of the artists that I was listening to were actual singer-songwriters who would write their own songs and then go out and then perform them. I mean, I'm talking about like the 90s with like Sheryl Crow and Sarah McLachlan and, you know, Jeff Buckley and all these amazing musicians. But that was the example I had. So partly just based on, you know, being kind of isolated in Winnipeg. I was growing up in the suburbs. I didn't have a big sort of community that I was clicking with yet. I just started, you know, doing it myself, which was just writing songs and booking myself little shows at coffee shops. And, you know, and then I was like, well, I guess I should make a record. So I didn't really know how to do that. But the first band I'd ever been in high school, the bass player had like an 8-track Tascam multi-track recorder where we would actually make our own little band recordings in the basement. And then that was what gave me the bug, like, hey, I can just do this myself. You know, I don't have a big budget or anything, so why don't I just like rent some gear and learn how to do it? So I started renting stuff from like the local music store, which in Canada they have like Long & McQuaid. It's like a national chain, and they make it really easy for musicians to rent anything in the store and try it out and use it and learn on it. And so my very first record I ever made, I just rented some microphones and rented some gear and took it to a live show and recorded myself. And then after that, edited it and, you know, finished it up. And that kind of gave me the bug. Like, I just liked being hands-on. So I guess the way I started out was kind of like all at once trying to do it all for myself without realizing, you know, that maybe only some of those things were what I was meant for. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Some have a natural gift on mixing and finding the right sounds, but how did you get your technical prowess up to the level it's at?
At the root of it, there's a hell of a lot of trial and error. When I was first starting out, I feel like the online resources that exist now just weren't there. You know, now you can look up literally anything you want to try to figure out how to do on YouTube. But it wasn't like that when I was first starting out. So I would try to like learn from any other friends around me who were also doing it. We'd talk about stuff, or if I ever was in a studio, I'd try to like, you know, look over shoulders and pick up as much as I could. And I was really lucky to, you know, have some talented people around me who would give me tips here and there. But I feel like, I mean, it's maybe one of the reasons why my journey has been a long winding path, is that I've just done different things for a long time. Yeah. And I think that it's kind of like given me a very, very rounded, like it's very, like I got a lot of experience in a lot of different things. It's helped me to sort of be able to tackle different aspects of production and hone my skills by just over time, working them and finding out what really doesn't work, and then find the things that I like that do work.
What is it then on the production side? What is it that draws you to an artist or makes you want to put your time into it? What are you looking for and you think, man, I think I can add some value here?
Well, a lot of my relationships with artists start out in the writing room. So it's a great way for us to together for an afternoon and try to make some magic together and see how we click. You know, it's always a blind date, but it's a great way to like get your feet wet together and see, okay, like, do I like your ideas? Do you like my ideas? Are we bringing something out of each other that excites us? I mean, all those kinds of things, even just do we like hanging out together? Those are things that draw me towards working with someone. And I feel like my best collaborations are with people who we complement each other, but we also hear things similarly, but also differently so that we can complement each other. If that makes sense.
Yeah. How did you get from Toronto to Nashville? What brought you to Nashville?
Well, I was starting to take writing trips to a few different cities because I was feeling like there's a bit of a ceiling in Canada. You know, you can have like number ones on Canadian country radio and no one knows about it outside of Canada. So as a songwriter, you always want to reach a larger audience. So I was, you know, I was taking trips to LA. I'd go for 2 weeks and I'd write a bunch of songs and come back to Toronto. And then I'd go to London and I'd write for a week or two. And I came to Nashville, and that was where I started to feel like it was really clicking. I had a couple really great writing trips in 2016 that kind of convinced me that it was like, okay, this is where I feel like we're making some magic, and I want to chase this. And I was starting to write with a lot more country artists in Canada and having stuff on the radio in Canada with country music. And so, you know, the fact that my influences are kind of varied and I work with both pop artists and country artists, I don't think that held me back from coming to Nashville the way that maybe I wouldn't have been ready for it, you know, 5 or 10 years earlier than when I came here.
If you start off in the writing room, obviously you feel that that's essential to really understanding an artist. What is your usual process when you're first being introduced to an artist outside just sitting and writing songs? When do you know like that magic connection's happening?
Well, I mean, I really try to get into the artist's head and see how deeply I can understand them. And that often includes, you know, talking to them a lot about what their influences are, what they like, what they're passionate about, what they're most afraid to say, you know, a lot of these kinds of things and getting to know them. You know, my process involves like, I have so many playlists and in my streaming services, which are like labeled with different artist names. And, you know, I'll be looking for things that as I'm listening to other stuff that make me think of that artist and like, that's sort of part of my process, I find, where I'm really trying to get in their head and try to figure out what can we make together that maybe they haven't thought of before and what's new for them. And can we find something that's really cool that we're both excited about, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, if we make something that I'm super excited about and just want to play for everyone, then that's the sign, you know? I know that we've got something cool and we should probably keep chasing that.
How do you keep your antennas up? Because that gets into the process. I'm always interested to hear writers because I heard it. Bobby Pinson once mentioned to me, because as a writer, you got to keep your antennas up and mean always like trying to find the thing. How do you do that? How do you recharge and refill? And like you kind of mentioned, you listen to a lot of music and playlists, but how do you keep yourself fresh as a producer and a writer and focus and finding those new pieces of energy that keep you wanting to get back in the room?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things to do is to listen to a lot of stuff. And actually, the thing that sometimes helps me to get inspired in a new way is by, you know, taking a song that has come out that I think is really cool for whatever reason and sitting down with it and trying to actually reverse engineer what they did, especially reverse engineering in terms of production, you know. With the song itself, I'll sit down and I'll like transcribe the lyrics without looking at like a transcription on Google, or I won't look it up, but I'll just like sit there and rewind and go over and write out the lyrics just to kind of move that muscle and think about every line at a time. And sometimes you got to go back and check what it was. And then you're like, oh, and it's almost like a way of kind of soaking it up like a sponge, you know, and I'll do the same thing with the melody. Even though I might know the melody, I could sing it to you. I might sit down at the piano and just take a good look at like, what is the melody doing and how is it moving? And why does it make me feel that way? And try to figure that out And then I'll sit down with the production and I'll like go through and figure out, well, okay, you know, why is this so cool? These chords against this kind of a little counter melody, or it's this kind of sound, or it's this or that. And it's just a great way to like, again, like soak it up like a sponge. And then I find that the more I do that, the more excited I get about like new ideas. And I have new ideas that kind of jump out of me at weird moments because I've been feeding myself those vitamins, so to speak.
Like currently, let's go into some of the challenges you see as a producer in the business, still, you know, grinding it out, making a name for themselves. What are some of the current challenges you face and how have you been trying to overcome them?
I think for me right now, a challenge that I am working on actively is saying yes and no to the right things for me that makes sense in my world, because that will dictate how much energy I have, how much brain space I have to give to the projects I'm working on, and, you know, help me to manage my time and creativity. It can be easy to overschedule yourself. And it can be easy to, you know, our careers are like up and down, right? Like every aspect of the music industry, it's like, you know, we go through seasons. And sometimes when you're in a season of like extreme busyness, you know, it can be hard to say no to other things, but you just gotta, because otherwise you're just going to burn yourself out, you know?
Let's talk about some of the artists that you're currently working with. Who right now has got you excited that you're working with?
Well, I mean, Megan Patrick, we just finished a record that just came out. I'm super stoked about it. It's only been out for like a week, I think. We've been working on it for a lot of this year. She's, if you don't know her, you've got to check her out. She's so amazing. She's originally from Canada. She's down here. She's killing it. She's a badass. She's so talented. Her voice is amazing. She's also super driven and visionary in her whole process. So it was really fun working with her because she had a lot of ideas she was bringing to the table, and she was just like, she knew where she wanted to go. She had a whole creative path for the record and how she wanted to reveal it. And that was really cool to be a part of, you know, get to help her kind of bring those dreams to life. You know, on the musical side, it was awesome. We wrote a bunch of songs for the record. I produced most of it and mixed it, and I'm really proud of how it turned out.
I am a big fan.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed. I'm crossing my finger again. I'm making a lot of hands. I talk with my hands, and nobody can see me. But I know that this will do some great things for y'all. So that's a great project. How did you guys get connected on that project? I assume probably, as we said, you started writing together, and then it evolved into the production side.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she and I have known each other for several years, and over the years, we've had the odd write here or there. It wasn't until, yeah, about a year and a half ago or so that we were having a few more writing sessions, like more regularly, and we had kind of hit on something. We wrote this one song called Blood from a Stone, and it went deep for Megan. She really wanted to talk about some very vulnerable emotional topics, and something really just clicked in that room that day. You know, I had this kind of very dreamy cinematic guitar vibe that I tossed at her. I was like, well, what about something like this? And we ended up jumping off that idea and writing around that. And we were writing it with our co-writer, Emily. It was an amazing day. And I didn't realize at the time, but Megan told us after, she's like, this is the one that kind of clinched it for me. Like, this is the direction for the album. This is where it's going to go. And then we started writing a lot more. And so I was really pouring everything I had into not just helping write the songs, but really kind of thinking about her sonically and where this record could go. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, I just love what we're doing so much. I really hope that I can get to see some of this through to the end. And she asked me to work on it and to be, you know, a big part of it. like she likes some of my weirdo guitar sounds, and you know, I love her badassness, and it just really worked. But it was definitely an organic process. You know, we'd known each other for a long time, and I feel like some of the best situations take a long time to develop like that. It's the best, you know, it's a relationship, it's getting to know each other, it's both parties being at the right point in their creative journey that they click at the same time. You know, there's a lot of factors.
You mentioned something I want to dive into a little more. You started thinking, you know, you wrote the song, and then you said you started thinking about the sonic landscape. What is that like as a producer? And think of it this way. I always like to tell people, like, our audience that listens are usually up and coming and people looking for a little education, a little knowledge. Like, walk through that process for somebody that might be newer into this. Like, what is that like for you to help start painting the picture sonically for someone? What's your process of pulling that together for somebody?
Well, I mean, using Megan as an example, from talking to her over several writing sessions and getting to know her, and you know, I knew some of her influences. Like, I knew she was really, really into things that sounded really authentic and organic and a bit gritty. And, you know, I knew her past stuff, but I knew she wanted to be a little more organic and a little more raw. So I was, you know, always listening for any kind of influence that I made a connection for her. You know, when I would listen, when I'm listening to stuff, always listening to new playlists of stuff. And then I'd go on deep dives. Like, I knew, you know, some of the artists that she really liked, and I'd ask her to send me songs she liked all the time, you know. And then I'd go and listen to them, and I'd think about, like, well, what is it that she's responding to in this? What is hitting her emotionally? You know, what is hitting her that maybe she doesn't even know is hitting her that way? Like, why? You know, she may not know why, but something in it is really appealing to her. And I'll look for patterns, and I'll look for, you know, just trying to make sense of it, and kind of just also just absorbing it, like putting myself into that gear. Like, if I, you know, because I'm changing gears all the time. I'm working with artists of different styles. And so I really try to, like, okay, I'm now in Megan Patrick mode, and I'm thinking about the artist that she loves. And so, you know, I'll even learn some of those songs. Like, I know she loves Brothers Landreth. And, you know, I went and learned some of their tunes, and I noticed that there's things that they do with little guitar lines that I think is really cool. And it's got a bit of a 90s influence. Okay, I can totally rock with that. And then it's like, okay, now let me try making a little guitar line that might have a bit of a 90s influence. And what would I do if I was trying to do something like this? And that actually was what I did when we wrote the song Whether You Love Me or Not, which was another early song shortly after Blood from a Stone. And that's exactly what I did on before that write, is that I was like, I think we need a song that has a little guitar line kind of inspired by Brothers Landreth or something. And sure enough, you know, when we came into the writing session that day, and I was like, hey, you know, I have this little guitar line, you know, and I played it for her, and she's like, yeah, let's try writing around that. And it totally worked, you know. But it's a process of, for me, I find, like, thinking sonically, thinking about, you know, how cinematic are they? Is it very dry? Is it intimate? Like, what is this artist's personality like? What seems to suit them? What fits them? And a lot of it's just going with my gut. Like, once I kind of soak all that stuff up, you just kind of throw it out and try to be creative in that mindset and hope that what comes out appeals to the artist. And if not, you just make adjustments and keep trying to find it.
Now, do you have any other projects coming up that you want to speak to or talk about, something you're excited about?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you got to check out Mickey Guyton's new record. That was another major project for me this year. It's been a bit of a time coming, but she and I have a long history of working together at this point. We've done several records, and this record is really fun. She's really embracing her fun, loving side, and celebrating her relationship with her husband and her young little son. And so we got to have quite a bit of fun on this one, and some dancey stuff and some emotional stuff. And yeah, I'm really proud of the record. It's worth checking out as well, for sure.
Any advice that you would give to anybody that's wanting to get into your role as a producer? What should they be focusing on? How can they avoid some of the pitfalls you have gotten through yourself?
I think you should always be trying to grow, whether you're just starting out or even, you know, if you've been doing it for a number of years, I think growth and constantly feeding yourself new inspiration is super important. So, you know, listen to so much music, soak up all sorts of different kinds of music, just try to like learn as much as you can from what's going on around you. I think in production, styles are changing so quickly, you know, trends change so quickly. So I think part of what makes a good producer is someone who can take all that in and kind of then bring that to the table and be able to do their own version of that with the people they're working with.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzi, producer Brandon Harrington, mixing and editing by Casey Porter, and this has been a Dime Collective production.